6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. Bless the word of the Lord. I'm going to begin by praying. Father, we are so grateful that you can be with us this evening. I ask that your word will go out with power, Lord. Power to convict and to change lives. Father, help us tonight to be soldiers of Christ, to be equipped in your word, to be equipped in prayer, to be equipped in truth and righteousness. Father, help us to do what is right in your eyes. Give us that strength to be a light in this dark world. Walk before us. Protect us from the evil one. Help us with our speech in everything that we do, in everything that we say. Be with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, I was watching a boxing fight. Me and my friends, we used to stay up late to watch boxing, and usually the big fights take place early hours in the morning because they are in Las Vegas or they are across the seas, and because of the time frame, we have to watch them in early hours. And you know, my friends would come over my house, and this time we wanted to watch a fight with Mike Tyson versus a man called Paul Booth. And the fight was in South Africa. And, you know, the bell went and the fight began. Now, this Mr. Booth guy, he was getting tired. And he knew he was going to lose the fight. So he started being dodgy. In other words, he started cheating. He would use his elbow and he would sneak in a headbutt. And what that does is it weakens your enemy. But overall, he was cheating. And the referee spotted him doing it. And in the end, they deducted points and points. But he did it so much that the referee had to disqualify him and end the fight. And Mike Tyson was pronounced the winner because Mr. Booth did not fight by the rules. Years later, Mike Tyson was in another fight with Evander Holyfield. Again, the fight was going on. Tyson, this time, he was the one losing. He knew he was not going to win this fight. And he began to be weak and weary. And so what he decided to do is cheat. Or just throw the towel, if you like, but in a crazy way, should I say. He bit Evander's Holyfield ear. A little bit of a chunk literally came off his ear. And he spat in the ring. And straight away, he was disqualified because he was not fighting by the rules. He lost the fight because he was not fighting by the rules. In the book of Ephesians, we have been given the rules or the instructions of our warfare. We have been given guidance on how to conduct kingdom business, how to conduct kingdom warfare. And the book of Ephesians, written to the Ephesians church, is primarily a practical book. It's teaching them Christian living, practical stuff. In verse 5:22, Paul gives them instructions on marriage. In chapter 6, he gives them instructions on parenting, and he gives instructions to children. So it's a book on Christian practical living. And so it's not a surprise to us that when we come to chapter 6, verse 10, he talks about God's provision for the spiritual battles for the Christian soldier. So last week we laid the foundation of the armor of God. I primarily spoke on why we need it. And I try to show you that there is more to life than what we can see, what we can touch, and what we can hear. I also spoke about how the devil is at work in our world and how he's not resting or sitting back, but rather he's active, trying to destroy the church of God and God's people. I spoke about how we should be sober-minded and not slumber or asleep from his schemes, because Peter warns us, 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And so all of this automatically puts us in battleground. It puts us in a warfare, and therefore we have to use the rules or the instruction or the manual that God has given us. Otherwise, we too can be disqualified. And so today we're going to look at last week we looked at verse 10, 11, and 12, and today we'll be getting into the meat of the armor of God. We'll be looking at 13, 14, and 15, God willing. So, it's not a surprise to us that Paul uses the analogy of a soldier, because we know Paul wrote this letter of the Ephesians while he was in prison in Rome. As I said last time, some suggest he was actually chained to a soldier most of his time, because he had the freedom in his place to do what he wanted to do. But sometimes they say he was chained to a soldier, which perhaps that's how he got this idea of the spiritual armor, looking at the soldier's armor. So we're going to start from verse number 13, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. So in verse 13, Paul is emphasizing what he has already said in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the evil, against the devil's schemes. We have already looked at how the armor of God needs to be the full armor. Not half, not a quarter, not just a bit of it, but the whole thing, the full armor. And Paul is making a point by repeating this in verse 11 and 13, because the armor of God goes together like bread and butter. So now he's repeating it. He wants to make sure that they understand that they have to put this on, and it needs to be the full thing. Also, we are only called to stand. We are called to stand. And that's all we have to do, is stand and resist him. Not to waver or to stumble or not even to advance, but to stand firm. And we know the day of evil will come because the enemy is looking for someone to devour. And so we have to stand our ground. Now, verse 14, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So here we are given the first two parts of this armor. The belt of truth is the first part of the armor. Because without truth, we are lost. The bell was used by the Roman soldier to tie the cloak, if you like, their long dresses as they used to wear back then. They would use it to tie that up, and accessories, things like a sword, a water pouch, they would put that on there. This is a picture of putting away loose ends. And hence the truth we must have around our waist, because it's truth that enables us to stand our ground. It's truth that keeps us stable and not get tossed about when the wind blows. Our foundation in this warfare must be rooted in truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful schemings. So one way that the devil attacks us is to bring discouragement to God's people through false teaching and false doctrines. I remember as a new convert, I was a babe, if you like, in Christ, literally saved a few weeks. I went out in a high street because I was so excited. I wanted to tell everybody that Jesus is alive. And I'm out there, I'm just giving out flowers, telling people God can save you, repent and all this. And this guy came up to me, and I didn't know anything else apart from what I was just saying, which was, Jesus can save you. And he said, oh, that's very good, young man. Tell me more about this Jesus. And then I'm excited. I'm like, look, you know, I was lost, but now I'm found, blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling him all these things. And he went, right, but do you know that this Jesus you worship is not really the Jesus you're worshiping? He's actually an angel. He's just Michael. His name is Michael. Do you know that? And he started telling me all these things. And I'm standing there thinking, what's all this? Lo and behold, he was obviously the Jehovah's Witness. And he started bombarding me for all these things. And I wasn't equipped in any truth. All I knew is I was lost, but now I was found. And that's what I had to say. But I walked away from that conversation absolutely discouraged. I was confused. What's happening? Where am I going? Is this real? Is my experience real? Until I picked up the Word of God and I went back to the Bible and began to feed myself in truth, it was only then I was able to stand my ground and I was able to be encouraged in the Lord. That's why, saints, we need truth, and truth we must love and embrace. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. I want to show you something here. Matthew chapter 22. The Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus, and they send their disciples to try to trap him. Matthew 22 verse 15, it says this. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You ain't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes or to Caesar or not? And they go on. But here's something I want to point out. The disciples of the Pharisees, they're speaking of Christ, saying, we know you are a man of integrity and truth. And they make this statement and they say, you are not swayed by others. Truths and convictions keep you firm. And standing in truth gives you the integrity that cannot be shaken by others. And our truth in Christ and His words must not be shaken. We must not be shaken by the devil's schemes of lies when it comes to truth. Because we have the truth. We have God's word. So the second thing about the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness is the second thing. Ephesians 6:14 again. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So that's the armor that covered the body from the neck to the thighs. And it consisted of two parts, one covering the front and the other, the back. It was made of rings or in the form of scales of plates fastened together that they would be flexible and yet guard the body from a sword, spear, or arrow. So this armor, this breastplate, it covered your back and your front, and it was tied together with scales. In the scriptures, sometimes it's used as the name coat. You can find the reference in 1 Samuel 17:5. It's speaking about when David was fighting Goliath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 of shekels. So, back then they would wear this thing that to protect their vital organs and to protect them at the back. Even for us, just now in my workplace, they've just issued us with stab vest, only because we have a new guy who started and he couldn't believe that we're not wearing stab vest. So he rang up the office and said, look, I'm only new here, but have you been reading the newspapers recently? There's all these stabbings in Southend. I think we deserve stab vest. And the council didn't hesitate. Straight away, they brought us all these stab vests, and we have all this armor now. We look like we're going to war. But the idea of these stab vests is that they protect your vital organs. They protect your back and your vital organs. And the soldiers would wear this armor so they don't get spears through their heart or their lungs, because that is fatal straight away. So Paul uses the same analogy in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So without our stab vest or without the breastplate, you are defenseless. You are defenseless against an arrow, against a spear, and you can easily be wounded or killed. So how does the breastplate of righteousness help us? So first, to understand that, we have to look at what is righteousness. What is righteousness? The dictionary describes righteousness as the quality of being morally right or justifiable. In other words, it is the state of one who is right with God and with God's law. And so the opposite of righteousness is, of course, unrighteousness, which is sin and wrongdoing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. All wrongdoing is sin. 1 John 3, 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. So, what does sin look like? Romans chapter 1, verse 29 just gives us a little picture. Paul says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips. So these are the fruits of sin, if you like. And it goes on and on. So here's the application of the breastplate of righteousness. The first thing to understand of this righteousness is that it comes from being in Christ. Because this righteousness only comes from Christ and Christ alone. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Romans 4, 5. However, to the one who does not work but trust God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. So our faith in Christ is credited to us as righteousness. And that is the righteousness that will ultimately protect your vital organs. That is the ultimate righteousness that will protect your vital organs. So remember, also the meaning of righteousness is the quality of being morally right or justifiable. And we have spoken about being justified in Christ. But this breastplate is also about being morally right. Morally right. I'm trying to pronounce that word. I'm struggling with my tongue. So there's a trend of once saved, always saved. And personally myself, I don't like that term. Because the people that tend to use it are those who think they can live their life how they please. Because, well, I am saved and I'm always saved. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter how I treat my body or what I do. It's, you know, I am saved, so I'm always saved. And the people who tend to use that a lot, the ones I've met anyway, have no regard for the things of God. But from the scriptures, that's not biblical. If you open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Romans chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, by no means. 6:16 carries on. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So we have to practice righteous and holy living. Because if we don't, we are giving the devil a foothold. We are giving the enemy advantage. If we don't practice holy living, we are allowing the enemy to advance. In warfare, it's always about taking ground, taking base, taking land. And we have to take our ground. We have to take our land and not let the enemy have an advantage. Book of Proverbs has a lot to say on this, on the subject of righteousness. I'm going to just read out a few quickly. Don't worry about turning there. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 6. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Proverbs 13, 6. Righteousness guards the persons of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. And finally, Proverbs 15:9. The Bible says, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. So we want to do what is right. We don't want to give the devil a chance. So you see why it's important to have our breastplate and the belt. The whole armor goes together and it works together. So let's look at the next part and we will end here. And then God willing will finish off another time with the other parts. Ephesians 6:15, verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So now he's talking about the feet, the boots, the sandals, the shoes. We are told by historians that the sandals that the soldiers would wear, they were made of leather. And they protected the ankle and they had spikes underneath. Those spikes would enable the soldier to have a good grip in the ground. As you know, soldiers have to fight under all different kinds of weather and terrains. And the sandals of the soldiers were unique from those you would wear in the marketplace, simply because they were designed to fight with. And like in any battle, if you are hitting the feet, it becomes very difficult to stand your ground. It becomes very difficult to fight. It becomes very difficult to run. If you are hitting the feet, it's very hard for you to get away from the enemy. Or you can't even pursue the enemy to finish him off, if you like. So the feet are crucial. And so, most scholars argue a lot about this particular scripture and the application of it, because some say we must have our grip in the gospel of peace, and that's more of my thinking too, I think. And that is what will help us to stand firm. And they say because the sandals had spikes, those spikes helped the soldier to stand strong in their position. And Paul several times has repeated himself, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm, 6:11, 13, in 14. And of course, standing in the gospel, standing in the good news, will keep us firm. against any attack. And so we must stand firm in the gospel of peace. Now, there are some on the other side of the boat that argue it is not about standing in the gospel of peace, but rather being ready to preach the gospel of peace. In fact, on the same scripture, Ephesians 6:15, the new, I think it's the New Reader's Version, reads like this: wear on your feet what will prepare you to tell the good news of peace. So you can see the vast difference. Some are saying stand, some are saying be ready to preach the gospel of peace. And the cross reference they use for that is found in Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. They also use Romans 10:15. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'll be happy to tell you that me and Roger agree that it's about standing. Because I did email him just to make sure, see what his point of view was. And it is about standing in our ground. But as for me, as a soldier of Christ, I am ready for both. Ready and prepared to preach. Ready and prepared to stand. Because as a soldier, you must always be ready for everything. And that's how we ought to be, ready and prepared at all times. Because being a soldier is about being alert, being aware, being vigilant, doing what is right, fighting the good fight of the faith. And we must be ready. We must be ready at all times to stand our ground and to proclaim the good news. And so we have this confidence that who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So no matter what comes, we must be ready, saints. We must be ready to stand and to stand firm. I will finish here today. Next time we meet, I will be looking at verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's pray. Father, once again, we are so thankful that you have equipped us with every single spiritual blessing that we need for our victory. Father, protect us from the schemes of the evil one. Lord, that he may not gain ground. Give us that faith, Lord, that moves mountains. Take away all from our mind, our heart. Take away all the doubts, the discouragement. Lord, give us understanding. Give us understanding of your armor, of your spiritual truth, that we would be good stewards, good soldiers of the word. Give us that peace, Lord, that passes all understanding. Give us that gospel peace in our day-to-day lives, that we might bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, and to you we look. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 715.